Hey guys, welcome back to No Quitters Podcast, where we interview people who have turned challenges into success in hopes to inspire you guys to adapt a mindset of not quitting. I'm Dan Ray.
And I'm Vinny Salcido. Welcome to the show, guys. Today we have another special guest. They're all special guests, but today we have someone who is in the entertainment industry. He's been doing this for how many years now?
Pretty much my whole life.
His whole life in the entertainment. He manages, he promotes and huge venues all across Southern California and artists all over. Joe Michael, welcome.
Welcome, Joe Michael.
First of all, thank you, Vinny. Thank you, Dan, for having me here today. I just want to let you guys know it's my very, very, very first podcast that I've here today that I'm going to do. I've had interviews before, but I've never done a podcast, and I just wanted to tell you guys thank you for having me today.
You're very welcome. I mean, we're honored to have you. You were on Univision last week, and now you're on.
Yes.
No Quitters. So thank you.
We'll make sure we'll go extra hard for you a little bit.
That's right. So that's good. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, what that was like.
The becoming of Joe Michael. How did you become you?
So it all started. With my mom and two uncles of mine up in Northern California, siempre me llevaban a los bailes. I got to experience that as a little kid, barely being able to see over the fences and whatnot when on the stages.
Uh-huh.
I got to see Banda Machos. I got to see El Recodo, La Original Banda Limón.
Nice.
Me tocó lo de El Duranguense when they used to throw the girls up in the air and...
That era,
and then two of both of my uncles. One of them was more into that's why it's my number one artist, Marco Antonio Solís, Los Bukis.
Nice.
Temerarios and that whole genre. And then I had another. That was my uncle, mi tío Trino.
Uh huh.
And then my uncle Rene, he was into the Chalino Sanchez, Snoop Dogg, Too Short. So I was little when I was listening to all of that, you know?
Yeah, that's quite a mix.
Yeah, right? My mom was the whole Recodo and the bandas and all of that. So,
and just listening to you right now, I mean, it just hit me how much music influences people, man.
Yes.
And you had a wide spectrum of genres that you listen to, right?
Yeah.
That's huge right there.
That is. Yeah.
So I got a little bit of everything growing up, of the mixture of the music, and it's just been in my veins this whole time.
Gotcha. How old were you when you started, you know, just going to the clubs or the parties?
I would say they were outside. We consider them now festivals, los bailes afuera. So they would be, I think I was, man... If I recall, I think I was like six years old. They would take me, and I remember it was back then. It was a lot of dancing, and I just would hear it, and I'd hear all the instruments of the bands, and I'd get pretty excited. I liked it, you know.
Got it.
Wow. Yeah. Now, what city in Northern California did you grow up in?
So we were based out of it's called my hometown. It's called I was raised there. Red Bluff, California, Northern California.
Red Bluff.
Yeah, so I was all over, shout out to all my people in Red Bluff. I was all over Sacramento, Chico, Orland, all the fairgrounds, all the terreno de bailes, the bulls. And I got to go out to all of that when I was very small.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you lived up there till what age?
I was there, I think, till I was like 18, and then I was part Sacramento. We would spend we had family in Sacramento, so we'd be back and forth a lot, Sacramento. But I did move around a lot when I was younger, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how would that influence you growing up? I mean, you were surrounded by a lot of music and moving around.
Uh-huh.
Did that influence you, that impact your life?
Yes, it did. So... At a very young age, I started seeing the amount of people there, and I started doing the math in my head. So I started figuring out. So I remember being small, and I would look at the lights and how they would set up the gates and where the security guards were at, who was the DJ, who was the band, who was running the show. So I was like, it always interested me. It did. And then I started, it influenced me in that way to see the back end of it. Mm-hmm. Plus you get to do something you enjoy. Mm-hmm. So I started calculating in my head and in high school, I started, my mom worked a lot and we had a house over there and had 5 acres. So I was like, huh, DJ, I used to sell the cups. Back then, I used to sell them the red cups for $5.
Yeah, and it was...
And that was unlimited. And
unlimited refills. Uh-huh,
and it was your entrance
to the party.
To our property, because it was gated off.
Uh-huh.
So you had to buy a cup, but it came with the drinks, the DJ, and the whole stuff. So I was in high school.
When you started doing parties?
Doing parties, yeah.
And how often were you doing them then?
So I started at the house. I started there.
La Rancho.
Yeah. I started right there inside the house. And then it would get packed. So then I needed a bigger venue. So a buddy of mine, Martin, out there, he had a garage shed, garage, barn, mm-hmm. the back of the house. And I clearly remember we went to Home Depot and we bought the plastic rolls, they're plastic, big plastic rolls of black. I think they were long, 20. I don't recall how big.
Okay.
So we went around the barn because they had all the tools in it. So we hung them up around in the barn, and then I bought a bunch of black lights, and we hung those up. I bought glow in the dark paint, threw it on the walls, hired a DJ, security guards, and then. Started selling the cups again. So I hope my price, I think I was charging 15, 20 bucks for the whole like nightclub experience in the side of barn.
How many people were going to these events?
Back then, you're talking about, we would fill up the inside. It was like 500 and then.
Damn.
Back then. And then in the outside, then we started, we would give them half price because we couldn't fit everybody inside. You could still be here, but we're going to charge you half price. And so we would...
You guys are taking advantage of even of the outside.
Inside was VIP.
VIP, you would say, so.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was in the DJ, you know how the back then the tall tees and the, you know, the shoes with the foam and all of that. And we were still, you know, yeah, when the alcohol would kick in, the DJ would, hey, play some banda, play this. And yeah, that's how we would incorporate it. Because back then, everybody was still into hip-hop.
Right.
Heavy, heavy into hip-hop. So.
How was that transition? How was it received by the people at the parties? Mm-hmm.
They received it really well. They pues ya pedo, ya sabes, se te salen los gritos y que la banda y que right. los corridos y las canciones.
You're rapping and all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Cantando.
So, and it's pretty funny. I'm fully Latin based right now on the side of the entertainment and events. But back then I had every ethnicity there. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I have every genre. I had them at my event.
So that was in high school. Who was the first band that you contracted for a live event where the band played live? Cause that was DJs.
Yeah. So I don't recall the name, but I remember I ended up contracting a Tamborazo.
Okay.
A Tamborazo okay. was actually my first ever. I don't remember the name. I wish I remember the name to shout them out. But I hired a Tamborazo as live music.
Uh-huh.
And but that's when I moved, like I was back and forth from Sacramento. So that's when I was started doing events in Sacramento.
So you were still there?
Yeah, I was still, I was in Sacramento when I did that.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got it. And how many people were at that event?
So when I was at the Tamborazo one?
Yeah.
I actually did that one, that event. I did it, I think it was, I don't recall it was a fraternity or a sorority. I did it, the venue was called Tropicana back in Sacramento, whoever watched whoever sees it is going to recall, but back then there was a venue and it was pretty cool. The venue was called Tropicana, and the venue was actually divided in two. They had like a plexiglass down the middle
of the main room.
of the whole venue. Like the whole venue had a plastic.
Like divided it
in two.
A lot of the clubs back then used to have like this side is hip hop, the other side is banda.
Yes, yes.
No, well, the funny part is that they had the stage, they had one stage and they had a plexiglass straight down the middle. And over there, it was all ages and then it was 21 and over.
Oh.
Yeah, it was okay. Trippy.
That's how they kept them apart.
Yeah, and so
minors couldn't drink.
Yeah, so and when I put the banda on the stage, I started with the DJ and then I put the banda on the stage and it didn't matter because it was playing for both sides. So the singer would just go back and forth. And it's not like you couldn't see them because the plexiglass was right in the middle. So you could see both of them. And people, it was just a hit. You know, it was sold out. I think back then, like, habían 1,500 a ese lugar.
Damn.
But you got to remember, it was all ages on one side and then 21 plus.
Over on the other.
They would sell alcohol. And then you needed a wristband. They had a door on, like, the back end of it. And you needed a wristband to cross back and forth. There was the same music, but just divided down the middle.
Yeah, that's badass.
It was pretty dope.
And how old were you when you did that event?
I think there I was 21. Yeah, I was 21. Yeah,
that's a good success.
What year was that?
I don't recall. I was trying to remember dates.
How old are you right now?
I'm 39.
He's 39.
39. So, okay. So 18, no. 21. Yeah, almost 18. 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So this was like in 05.
18.
2005, around there?
I think so. I don't remember the date, but it was when I was still there. And it was pretty dope. It was pretty cool, the whole concept that they had there. And then I ended up working with the guy there in charge. I ended up working with him, I think like 2-3 years. And it was just killer, you know? It was pretty cool.
So did you start? You started that movement?
I wouldn't say I started that movement. That I recall, I did not know because I had all the genres there, like all the ethnicities there. So I don't recall if I was the one. I don't want to say it, but that I remember, I was doing that. You know what I mean?
How many more people were doing
1,500
that?
1,500 people. That's a big ass venue.
Everybody was still my boys, because we had like different groups. My boys, they were called Team Havoc. I would team up with them, Team Havoc. There was my party crew, and out of all the party crews, I was the only one doing that. And I was the only one at that time working with the fraternities and sororities. I got plugged in with the Sacramento State and all the local colleges there through a cousin of mine. He was going to Gustavo. He was going to college there. So I basically got the whole college experience at Sacramento State. Not even go there. I would show up to all the meetings, the hangouts, and I was in other fraternity events.
Were these Latino fraternities?
Latino fraternities?
Yeah.
Yes, they were.
Okay.
Yeah. But back then, everybody mingled together.
Everybody partied together.
Yeah, everybody partied together.
The party was a good party.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool.
I mean, I know right now you manage several artists, so it's important that we remember all these details because this is your story, you know what I mean? And you're 21, you're hosting a party. It's 1,500 people. That's a big party, you know? At what age or what got you to move to the next step to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go after the big fish.
So as soon as... First of all, I enjoy it. I love it. It's what I love to do, and the ins and outs I've got to experience. You know, I never say bad. I take it as a lesson. I never say bad, but obviously, like anything, you know, you have ups and downs. But I seen the whole enjoyment that I got out of it and the satisfaction. I back then there was I don't know if they're still doing it. I was friends with. The Marquez brothers, you guys know the Queso? The Marquez brothers?
Marquez.
So there's some owners, and one of them, one of the owners is a daughter. I don't know the whole analytics behind that, but they had a nephew. She had a son, and I ended up, the son liked what I did. And her son, I feel so bad, man. I forgot his name. If you watch this.
Marquez nephew.
Marquez nephew. And then he took me he would go to my events. And he took me to a concert of his. Because they had like all the wristbands and the badges and whatnot.
Organized.
super cool. And he's like, hey, you want to go? And I was like, yeah, of course I want to go. And they, you're talking about, they were doing concerts of, I think, minimum of 7 to 10,000 people. And we were like showing up with him. He's, I'm going to say part owner, but he's from that family. And we were backstage. We were on stage. We were just, you know, mingling. And I was just like, I was, when I was little, I got to see all of that. But now as I was in the back end and I was like, oh, I could do this. And so I was like, I was already doing it, but I was like, I could figure out how to book artists.
You know? It was motivation for you.
Yeah. It was inspiring, motivated.
Inspired you.
Yeah.
Wow.
The cool thing that he liked to come to my events. He would tell me, he would be like, man, you're doing this, you're doing that. And it was pretty cool, you know, because I was in Sacramento, I was in apartments, I was in restaurants, bars, nightclubs. I was at the concerts, the festivals, and it was a cool experience there.
Wow.
I would book DJs. I would book, at that time, I would book DJ Luis. Back then, he would go by DJ Lurox. I'll touch base with him in a little bit. And then I would be, I think it was Latino at the time, Mega 3 or Latino, DJ Santa Rosa and all of them. I would book all those DJs for my events back home.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that's how
you started with a lot of DJs.
DJs. I was mainly DJ. Then thing. I went to Tamborazo y luego Banda. Lego artist and then grupos and stuff like that.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, have you ever encountered a time where you're like, you know what? I'm doing this. It's costing me a lot. I don't know if I really want to stay in this. Uh-huh. And maybe change careers and to something else?
I've always, touching base on that. So I do, the circle that I have right now is based off entertainment. So I do Joe Michael Entertainment, which is events. And then I have a record label too, which I do music. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I do hats, merch, and stuff like that. So that's a circle that I have. Yes, I have wanting to business venture in different things to be a well-rounded person. I've came to Vinny's Coaching on Tuesdays. If you guys are watching, make sure you come here on Tuesdays. He inspires you, like, you need 7 incomes to be a millionaire or to be successful. And happiness is defined in different ways, and my happiness is defined, and hopefully, like, I get to entertain, I do events, and, you know, seeing them happy and satisfied, and then if I get to help others, that'd be great. But I am exploring in the sense that it's all tied together in one way or another.
Got you. So you do diversify, but you stay within.
Within, yeah.
Got you. Yeah. Okay.
So I could cater. If I have a client in a different business, mm-hmm. I could cater to them in anywhere. I've been blessed. I could go a lot of restaurants. I know managers.
Got you.
Nightclubs, bars. If they need an exotic car, if they need, you know.
Got you. Okay. Let me reframe my question again. You're in the entertainment industry, right? So you're on high demand. You're partying till 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I don't know, 8 in the morning, a lot and consistently, right? And I'm sure that lifestyle is draining. Have you reached a moment in your life that you're like, damn, I don't know if I want to do this? Or you're like, nah, man, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
Very good question. My grandma passed away of cancer.
Sorry to hear that.
And she told me, te voy a decir algo. I'm going to say it in Spanish. Mijo. She passed away. My grandma actually passed away from cancer, and she was on her last days. And I was blessed to be around her. And she told me a secret that I was her favorite grandson. Besides that, she told me, yo sé lo que haces y te voy a pedir una cosa. El negocio te va a dar mucho y te puede quitar mucho. Pero eso no te vas a caer por eso. Lo único que te pido, no dejes que el negocio te eche a perder. ¿Sí me entiendes?
Yes.
So, rephrasing to your question, the discipline that I punish myself when I feel like I'm getting a little...
Too wrapped in.
Too wrapped in or... too in the moment,
yeah,
or too, oh, I got this.
Yeah,
that's where I will go. A hidden fact: I will go 6 months without drinking, 11 months,
gotcha,
just to discipline myself. And that quote that she told me, or saying that she told me, has really, really helped me. Para no echarme a perder en un negocio que te da mucho, yes, o te, yes, puede quitar mucho.
Right. That's, yeah, that was powerful, because basically she told you don't get lost in the sauce. Right?
Yeah. That's exactly what she told me. That's the, her only wish was that. That's what.
Wow. How old were you when she told you that?
She passed away. I'm bad with dates, guys. I would say 7-8 years ago.
Gotcha.
No, it's been longer. It's been longer. I think I was... No, it's been longer. 24, 26?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
15 years ago.
Yeah, she told me. That's the only thing that she asked me for.
Right. Wow. And that shaped your life.
It did. It did, because you could get wrapped up in the rock star lifestyle.
Right.
And you kind of forget. You know, and then,
yeah, I mean, I'm sure you're over there with la banda, yeah, el grupo, and you're partying, parties, doing the most,
yeah,
right? And so women, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and I punish myself. I don't let nobody else tell me my that what she told me reminds me all the time to, hey, relax.
You That's know? Powerful, man. That's powerful that you had her, and it is a blessing to have someone like that that has a lot of impact in your life.
Yeah, she did.
That's
Who were your role models in your life?
Inspired me a lot to not give up and never quit, readjust and restructure yourself, but never quit. My mom.
You grew up with your mom and your dad, or
just my mom?
Just your mom.
Yeah. So she's always to push me to the next level, man. She's always inspired me.
I mean, this is a great example, because a lot of guys that grow up without a dad, they start blaming everything, right? But we've interviewed a lot of people that grew up without a dad, and just like you, they overcame it, right? And mom was that strong figure, yes, in their lives that pushed them to become greater, right? That's very inspiring to hear.
Yeah, my mom, she's been the biggest inspiration and always pushing me to the next level. My dad, he wasn't around. But with God, I don't blame him. I don't blame him, because I don't know what exactly he went through and put himself in that situation. Maybe one day I will. Maybe one day I won't. But I have no. I don't know the
current. No remorse.
No remorse. Gotcha. Man, no. I'm not a dweller. I'm not.
Did you ever have that affect you?
Maybe when I was little, because when you're young, you don't really know. But I've never been a dweller. I don't really, you know. Stuff like that. I hope he's doing good, and I hope everything he's planned out, or, you know, maybe one day we'll talk, but I'm not mad at him, or gotcha. I don't blame him or nothing like that, you know?
I mean, I'm sure he's been to some of your concerts.
Maybe. You know? I'm not sure.
You never know.
Or maybe he's watched them on my YouTube channel.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, yeah, right. Everything's accessible.
Yeah.
So in all your years and now where you're at, who was that artist or the band or the group that when they were there on your stage, it hit you like, oh shit, like
I'm doing big things?
Yes, like boom, I did it. Yeah. I got them. Or what, who was that?
I've been blessed that I work with a lot of managers and promoters. I'm gonna give you guys a inside story, and he's very inspiring. Edwin Cass, when he first went to Jalos, I'm going to shout him out too, Miguel Triunfo from Triunfo Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
He called me, a really great guy. He called me and he asked me, hey, I want to do a showcase at your venue. And the guy's always been al cien with me. He's always, what do you need? You need help? This, that, you know, Miguel, the Triunfo Magazine. And he's like, hey, I want to do a showcase, you know? And I was like, yeah, let me organize that for you. Let me help you out. And he ended up doing a showcase. He put on the stage, he gets sponsorships. He did accordions and magazines and hats and this and that. And there was this young cat, which was Edwin Cass, the Grupo Firme. And he went for free. when to showcase for him. I don't know what agreement they had, but
yeah.
He was there.
They didn't charge.
Yeah, he performed, and I remember because I remember being on the second floor, and I was up there, and I was watching the showcase because I was looking at everything. Okay, make sure everything's running, and I was checking everything out, and I remember seeing him on stage singing, and I was like, man, that guy can sing, you know. And he ended up singing, and I was looking at the group and whatnot, and I was like, dope. And I had told Miguel from Triunfo magazine, and I told him, man, the group is really good. So long story short, some time passes, and I'm like on Facebook, I'm upstairs in our offices at Hollows, and I'm on there, and then on Facebook, we were still heavy on Facebook. A post comes up, and some guy in a Nike tracksuit, hat on, singing on top of a hielera, El Amor No Fue Pa' Mi, and they were just recording live, like right here, and boom, and he started singing. And I was like, wow, that guy can sing. But I at the moment, I wasn't
it
like...
It didn't hit you who it was.
It didn't hit me who it was, it didn't hit me who it was, and I was like, man, that guy's going to make it. Long story short, they ended up getting their visa again, and they ended up performing at Ajalos, and it was massive. It was just crazy outside, man. Crazy. We ended up doing two nights, and it was just...
Was this the Ajalos before?
No, this Ajalos right now.
Oh, that's
right.
Massive.
Yeah, Ajalos Event Center right here in Anaheim, California.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was crazy. Yeah, and the cool experience about right there at Ajalos, I remember driving to a concert in LA with the other another promoter, another partner of ours that we work with, and I was in the back seat, mm-hmm. and my mom would and my uncles would listen to Bronco, and at the time Bronco wasn't where it was supposed to be at, and I was like, oh, I want to book them, and I told my boy, I was like, hey. So go for it. And we got them and boom, sold out. Yeah, we promoted it like crazy, man.
What the hell?
I'm going to be honest. I just got them to listen to them. But I was like, if we lose, we lose, you know?
Uh-huh.
But I knew we weren't, you know, because we doubled down on the promotion. And I was like, I wasn't going to let that happen. And we killed it. We had them we booked it one time and then we booked it again. And then the third time, it was just they were just gone. There were stadiums now. There were this, that. But we got the privilege to book Bronco. And then
before they went massive.
Before they went massive. And then another one that was pretty dope was Remy Valenzuela.
We had that's a concert. I saw him in Palenque and Aguascalientes. That's a concert, bro.
Dude, he shut the 91 freeway down.
What?
Yeah, bro. He shut it down all the way from Hollows Event Center, the 91, to State College. Remy Valenzuela shut Hollows
down. All the people coming
in, and we were already sold out.
You know, he's got some fans out there in the IE for sure.
Yeah. So the 91
from coming from the West Side
and LA. And LA
State College.
Oh shit!
The freeway was shut down, and we just had. People were just insane outside waiting for them, you know? And then the newer ones that we had that before they did the crossover was also Marca MP, shout out to Chato. Then we had Fuerza Regida on a Sunday, shout out to JOP. We had them. We got to experience a lot of. Right when we got them, they did the crossover, and I respect a lot about them because they show great appreciation in the sense that they'll come back and do a date, you know, they'll do a date as appreciation of when they started, and after that, I understand them. They're gonna do a nationwide tour, and we're a good sized venue, but we're not that
that's
big.
That's good.
Yeah, and then
that's awesome.
That's another
Fuerza,
one,
Fuerza Regida,
Regida,
right?
Fuerza Regida, JOP. Chato and Chato Marca MP. Another one that showed us a lot of love was
see everybody in the crowd smiling over there.
A lot of them, another one that showed us a lot of love was, and I want to shout him out, was Fantasma. He went to my birthday for free, bro.
Wow.
Yeah, he went to my birthday for free. Before he did the crossover, when I say the crossover, stadiums and,
right.
You know, all these.
So when they made it big.
Uh-huh. And he came back, bro, twice to show appreciation. And that shows a lot of love of those type of artists when they get to that level. And those my bad if I forgot any of them, but those are three on top of my head right now that you never know which way the table's going to turn. You know what I mean? And
they showed the love.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine they're out there doing their thing. They're doing what they love. They're singing. They're going at it. And all of a sudden, they hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's badass. And you just happen to witness all that.
Yeah. Well, I get to be part of the experience when they start off and they show, and it's cool. They still go and party and show love there and they'll show up and, you know, it's a pretty cool experience I get to live it, you know?
Got it.
Yeah. I get to live it with them and I get to be around it and it's pretty dope.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
So you've been around this whole thing, right? And obviously you named a couple big artists there. Besides the discipline that you have for yourself where you stop drinking for a couple months, I mean, what else do you do to keep yourself in shape and away from all the BS that's happening there?
I'm still in the scene, but everything that I've learned from experiences is balance.
Got it.
You never have to give up anything. You have to balance it out. Even drinking, have you guys seen those reports when they would make those kids drink too much water? Kills you.
No,
yeah. Too much water.
Yeah.
Would ever think that, right? So the thing on as me being an example, the biggest thing that I say is discipline. You could have a drink. You don't have to stop drinking.
You kind of have to grow yourself, unless you already have it, right? Yeah. You kind of have to grow yourself because there's some people they can go and have 2-3 drinks, and then there's people like me. Se nos prende el cerro. We're gone.
I'm like,
and I'm not gonna say I'm no saint. That's why I discipline myself.
Gotcha.
When I get like that, that's why I said no. I gotta chill, relax, change my mindset, and then I could have 2-3. And then if I see 2-3, and I gotta go. I'm going to the bathroom, but I'm not even saying bye. I'm out. You know?
Smart.
Because
they're gonna pull you back. Yeah. Like, hey, I'm gonna go.
My compa Dan's gonna be like, one more shot, bro. Get out of here.
Right. Where you go?
Yeah, and it's no
disrespect. All the way to your car.
No disrespect to no one, and I'm going to the bathroom. I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'll say sorry to you tomorrow. Yeah. I'll take off and. I have to say it's a lot of discipline and a cool thing. Like I try to challenge myself. I break it up the year in Q1, Q4. And the goals that I had for 2026, I'm already knocking them out.
That's right.
In Q4. One was lose 50 pounds. I lost 70. I was 240. I'm 175 now.
Oh,
damn.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. One was,
that shows a discipline right there.
Yeah. And all natural, none of all this stuff that's going on now. 2 workouts a day, a lot of cardio, a lot of water, black coffee.
He's running marathons now.
Eating healthy.
Natural what?
Yeah, that was another thing. One of my biggest goals, and I would see on Instagram and TikTok, people running and couldn't even walk a mile.
Like your knees hurt.
Everything hurt. So I put that in my head. It was actually for Q1 of 2026.
Uh-huh.
To run a half marathon and a marathon. And I already knocked it out. Yeah, I already knocked it out. It was the losing of the weight, the running, and the discipline on the eating and the drinking. So I'm balancing.
Which one was the hardest?
Honestly, I'm going to be honest.
Please.
Everybody says, was the drinking the hardest? And it wasn't.
The
sugar,
the
sodas, the energy
drink. You had that.
I was drinking 3-7 leaves a day. I was drinking a Celsius and a Red Bull.
Yeah.
All I have is 2-3 cups of coffee, black coffee, and a gallon of water, like Dan's jug he has over there. Yeah. A gallon of water. That's what I drink a day. Yeah. And I reward myself on the weekends. a little mariscos or, you know, something. Mm-hmm. But during the week, I tried it like 100%. Yeah. Like the bread you guys have there?
Yeah.
Tempting we just, just open it, man. It's all still there, right in front of Sean's face.
Calling him, bro.
It was like, I'll die to grab it. Yeah. I wanted one bad, but I was holding right? back.
We opened that thing. It was like, oh, shh, yeah. Everything. They got conchas. They got cuernitos. They got the whole thing there.
Yeah. But the key word is being disciplined. Being disciplined.
So Joe Michael, you have kids?
Yes, I do.
How old are your kids?
My son is 13 and my daughter's 5.
13 and 5. And all the experiences in life that you've had, what is the advice that you would give your two kids and our listeners out there?
The advice that I would give them, I'm going to give you a perfect example. The half marathon that I just ran in Long Beach, mm-hmm. my knees gave out on mile 10. And I'm going to pull this up.
Tell us what that felt like, though. What did it mean for your knees to give out?
Quitting.
Pain.
Just like the sign right here says, No Quitters Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I felt like quitting. But at the what my mom showed, remember I told you guys my mom said never quit, never give up.
Right.
So from mile 10 to mile 13.1, the 3.1, it was just imagining my kid see me quit.
Oh, shit.
Damn, you know? Yes.
What was I going to show them? You know, what example was I going to give them?
That was in your mind.
That was in my mind.
So from mile 10 to 13, you're just in your head battling that shit.
My knees gave out.
Pain.
Yeah, I was genuinely hurting, man. I wanted to quit. I wanted to give up. But the vision, them at the end. And
you're doing the half marathon, you're saying?
The half marathon. Gotcha. I was going to quit. But knowing they were at the finish line, I wasn't going to set that example. To be a quitter.
And you just fucking bared through it.
Bared through it. Barely made it, but.
And when you crossed that finish line, what did you feel?
I haven't felt that type of a satisfaction inside of me.
Euphoria.
In a long time, man. In a long time. Because I've pretty much experienced and had it all. Uh-huh. And I didn't have that fulfillment that it made me feel like I really accomplished something huge in the eyes, in the mind of myself and the eyes of my kids, you know?
So that's badass that you say that, because even after having it all, it's not rewarding enough as personal growth, right?
Exactly.
And when you reach that finish line, it was like, man, I did this shit.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's badass. And you saw your kids.
And nobody could buy it.
No.
No,
nobody.
You can't fake that.
You have to experience that.
Nobody. You can't buy it. You can't get it. You got to that daily battle that you fight in your head every single day to wake up, to do that discipline, to get there to that point. It's crazy, man. It is crazy. It's not easy.
It's not.
Yeah.
Most quit.
Yeah.
Most are like, I'll do it again next time and give up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not knowing that it's going to fucking show up next time too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Right. What are some changes that you had to do to maintain this level of discipline?
The biggest thing, and I think we all go through it, and a lot of us could relate. Every day, the person that you're fighting with is no one around you. It's yourself. Mm. That daily battle that you have to fight with yourself. Did I do this right? Am I doing enough? Can I be better? How can I be a great person? I'm going to tell you, I'm not perfect. Not perfect at all. But I'm trying 100% to make a lot of changes. A lot of changes in myself. And just show up every single day. And if you fail today, try tomorrow. Give it another shot. You know? But the biggest thing I would say, I wrote that. I was in the cusp, but I don't know, my kids are going to watch this, but I would write it on the wall. I would write it on the wall and I wake up and I see it right there. You know what I mean?
I'm going to say something, because you used the example of the artists, Fantasma and all of them, when they crossed over.
Yeah.
You crossed over. You crossed over to a level now
Yes.
To a level now where you see the good. And what you said, that you have thoughts of, am I doing it right? What do I have to do? What to make better? How to become better? Those are thoughts that normal people don't have.
Yeah.
Most people never stop to think about that. So give yourself a big pat on the back because you've made your crossover to the other mm-hmm. side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because your thoughts could have been like, I don't get out of this. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. Everyone's stopping me around.
Yes.
You know what I mean? All these limiting beliefs, right? But you're on the other side already trying to figure out a better way. And you're right, man. It's difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is. You like I mentioned, you have to push yourself every single day. And if you don't show up, no one's going to show up for you.
No one.
No one's going to show up for you, you know? So you gotta be your own inspiration, but yet surround yourself with people like you're doing, you know, all your projects, you're doing your coaching, Dan's doing his thing. I don't know if I can mention it, some projects he has there on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, you know, you work out, you're doing your thing like that, and you have your other businesses too. And seeing things like that, I'm like, okay, I could do this, I could do that. Let me learn from that. But to answer your question, surround yourself. You guys can inspire me all you want, but if I don't show up, it's not going to get done.
Yeah.
Regardless. Right.
We see it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, you guys inspire me. But if I don't show up, and not just in here, if I don't put in the work outside, then it's not going to happen no matter what you do.
Yes.
You know,
100%. You're either the one making moves or you're the one wasting oxygen.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been doing a lot of big things, man. Booking big events, big artists. You lost 70 pounds. You ran that marathon. You know what I mean? What's next?
I'm going to be honest. I wasn't going to announce it, but I guess I will.
Here it comes.
I'm getting into real estate.
Into
real estate. And I want to incorporate it with a little bit of...
Hang your license here with us?
I'm going to hang it. Let's work it.
Soon.
Coming soon. I'm going to get my real estate license and I'm going to work on, I don't know the correct terms or whatnot, but what I've researched and done and heard or whatnot, I'm going to try a phrase of how many people can I help? I'm not going to look at the number wise. I'm going to go with the flow. Helping as many people as I can, and then whoever build trust and go that way.
Yep.
I'm not going to give a number because I didn't start the music with the number.
Right.
I did it because I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the entertainment, and there's another project too that will all tie in because I do cater to when I have concerts, hey, come down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's this famous influencer, and I forgot his name. But he's the one on this clip. Make sure you guys comment below. Tag him. He's the one that bought the tickets to the New York Yankees. He did Jets. He did. I don't remember his name. I was looking. I follow him. And I was looking at all this stuff. But he said, build your circle with everything that you could cater and help to your clients. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And I feel like that's going to be another thing that would incorporate into the real estate, you know?
Beautiful.
Make sure to find me under Joe Michael Real Estate.
That's right.
It's already up.
It's already up. The TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, the email, the website.
Good. Nice.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of people that we interview here. Some wish they can go back and change something in their past. And some say, you know what? I live my past, and that's what's defined me now, right? So I would not change anything. Which one would you say you are?
Can you rephrase that question?
Yeah. So we have people that say, hey, you know what? If I can go back to my past, I would change this.
Mm-hmm.
And we have others that would say, you know what? I wouldn't change anything because that's what's made me who I am now. Uh-huh. Which one are you?
Okay. I feel like, no, it's part of the process, part of the lessons taken. Mm-hmm. But I do catch myself, because I do a lot of thinking inside and sometimes I don't let it out. Appreciation. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And everybody that I've been around, I would love to mention all their names. I've had, throughout the years, I've had blessed teams and people in my corner that they've helped me out to become where I'm at today. That's why, I don't know if you guys noticed, I shouted out Vinny, I shouted out Dan, and then I'm giving out the shout outs because I've been there. When you don't feel appreciated, they don't mention you, and you're nobody without a team. And I've always had really good team members. All I can mention, I'm going to shout them out right now. One of them is Jay Orozco. He started he used to be my assistant. He opened a shout out to East Los UTV shop out there in East LA. He opened a UTV shop. Mm. Then he opened up Muelle Ocho, Samarisco. Yep. Thing. Mm. And he became a business owner, and he used to help me.
That's badass.
Yeah. And that's when I say, that's the only thing that throughout transitions and stuff like that, I don't feel like I mentioned it. And I think people should do that more. Mention it out. He became a business owner. Another one that helped me out a lot was Lando. He created his own company, a creative department. He does printing for huge companies like Hello Kitty, Thrill Burgers.
Wow.
And he became he works with Bobby D Presents too. And he helped me out a lot too. He was my assistant a while too. And now he's a business owner. So you got creative department. You guys can find him on Instagram, Lando. And he became a business owner in marketing and printing. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, Jay Orozco, became a UTV shop for the razors and all of that.
Wow.
You guys ever need that? And a Mariscos one. And
Muelle
then
Ocho.
Have you guys heard of Tacos Estilo Sonora?
I've heard of them.
Yeah.
He was another assistant of mine. He's a business owner too. Wow. So what I liked and what I don't like you said, well, I don't have no regrets, but the thing that I didn't appreciate saying it, mentioning it to them.
You know
what?
I think you're the first person that we interview that says, hey, you know what? I wish I can go back just so props. I can appreciate people more.
Yeah.
No, which is perfect.
Or give them the props.
Give them the props.
Give them the recognition, the recognition for the appreciation that they were part of my journey and I was part of their journey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And those are three that I mentioned right now. Right now I have an awesome assistant, Sammy. She's on it 24/7, nonstop, off the clock, on the clock.
Future entrepreneur too.
Yeah.
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 She's going to build.
And we're going to grow together too. And she's awesome. Never, always on it. And all my business ventures, all my stuff going on. And that's where I kind of feel like, I think it in my head, oh yeah, I appreciate them.
But you don't show
up. I don't tell them. You know what I mean? Like today, I brought you guys a gift. As an appreciation that, like, you're taking the time, both of you guys are taking the time to have me on your podcast. And you guys could have anyone you want, but you're taking the time. And right
you
here,
bring that over here.
Let's see the beautiful assistant, Sammy. I mean, Stephanie, right?
Thank you.
Sorry, Stephanie. Stephanie. Yeah.
Thank you.
I brought you guys a hat. If you guys want to open it, that's my appreciation.
Yeah, absolutely.
That, you know, you guys have me here today.
Oh, it's a badass hat.
You know?
There's two. Oh, no, there's several.
Wow. There's three.
Yeah.
Three of them. We got the first one is the Hallows one.
This one's Hallows?
Yeah, the cloud one. That's the...
There you guys go.
I know you guys are Dodger fans.
Check this one out.
And then the other one is the Joe Michael one. Dodgers.
Sass. Yeah, Sway.
Yeah.
It's nice.
They're all custom made. And then the black Hallows one. I want to shout out my boy here. See, like,
give
a little appreciation. Italiencia, shout out to him. This is a company that I work with in collaboration with my hats. And he's always been 100% with me. Whatever I need, he's on top
of it.
These
are badass.
Bro, these bills are sweet.
Right?
They're like suede.
Yeah.
They are suede.
And they're all done by him, my buddy right here.
He does them.
He does them for me.
Yeah. Shout out, Italiencia.
We work in a collaboration with them.
Well done.
Yeah. Absolutely. But see how I... incorporate it more. And I'm going to be honest, I wouldn't do that. And I would think it in my head, but I was more, also I was more quiet and stuff like that. Like, my mom told me, my mom and a friend of mine told me, ¿te acomodas o te vas?
¿O te acomodo?
Yeah. And she's like, real quick, touching the Univision thing, I was doing the Maui Waui, the Wendy Ortiz TikTok. Mm. I did it outside of Halos and I hung up on the sting and I did the marketing. Low key, did the marketing, got hundreds of thousands of views. Wow. You guys could see it on my TikTok, Joe Michael Martinez. And I hung up there and Julio Cesar from Univision, Channel 34 from LA, hit me up and he's like, hey, I like that video. I read the caption. I see what you're doing. Can I do an interview? And I was like, sure, come down whenever you want. And the old me, I would have been like, nah, fine. I'm behind the scenes.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I remember what my mom told me and my friend. And they were both told me different. And they're like, you got to adapt and quick. So mm-hmm. I ended up doing the TikTok. And then I was all over the news.
That's right.
I was all over.
You know what, that's amazing that you mentioned that, because just speaking with you, it doesn't seem like you would be someone shy.
I'm going to be honest. I was very, very, very shy growing up. The one that always pushed me was my mom. And I was more the event coordinator behind the scenes. I would get everything done. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I'd be in the background. I'd get done. And I was more shy, believe it or not. Now I'm on TikTok, YouTube Shorts, Instagram, Facebook. You name what platform, I'm on it. TikTok Live. Yeah. And now I'm on these podcasts, Univision.
That's right.
Interviews.
So now's the opportunity for you to give a big shout out to your mom and tell her whatever you want to tell her right now, because she's going to see this. She's going to be proud of you like she has been her whole life.
Yeah. She's actually texting me right now when I was on the podcast. So, but yeah, no,
Spanish,
mom.
Or English, whatever you want to do. We're cool with that.
No. I just want you to know, mom, I appreciate you. And then I'm here today because of God and you. And then and thank you for not letting me give up. See, now I'm getting shy.
Ah, man, it's coming from the heart. You know,
yeah.
This is badass.
Well, I appreciate you a lot, mom.
Yes, so. Yeah. Felicidades, señora.
Sí, muchas gracias.
Gracias. Well, we appreciate you being here, bro. I know your time is important and valuable, and mm-hmm. we appreciate that you found time to be here. And mucho éxito para ti. You're just starting, bro.
I'm very great that you and Benny and Dan gave me the opportunity to be here today, and then everything. The questions based off of what you guys had mentioned is for anybody battling with their mind every day, make sure you always discipline on whatever you do. And you could be one push up a day. It could be 1,000 steps a day. But as long as you move forward and you know that and you write it down and you set goals, you will become somebody mentally, physically, financially, and defined in your own happiness. You know what I mean? My happiness is the enjoyment from the events and the enjoyment that I'm doing right now on changing every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes. That's what's helping me define myself and give recognition and appreciate everyone around me.
You know, that's badass that you mentioned that, because the words that stuck out to me is define in your own happiness, because a lot of people are trying to live someone else's life mm-hmm. and you're out here. The world is starving of genuine people living out their true identity. Right. Yeah. And you are that great example.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's badass to hear that and hear that someone else is also sharing this. And there's a lot of people out there that are living their truth. But to those that are not, I encourage you guys to live your true identity.
And then the biggest thing, like, I wouldn't mention it and I wouldn't say it. And there's somebody that I do want to mention that was part of my process, got to live an era of experience that I had One would be obviously, you know, God. And then my ex fiance, she was part of the process. I just want her to know that I did appreciate her and I still do. My mom and my kids, you know.
Yeah.
And it's taken me a lot to do that because I wasn't that tired. And I just want to make it public, you know.
Absolutely.
I would hold a lot of things inside. And it definitely, shout out to the two women over here to the left watching the podcast before anybody else. it really defines a woman in the right corner. It is going to help you grow and support you. At the end of the day, like, you know, some may have a mentor, some may have their mom. Mm-hmm. If you're single or if you're divorced, and I had a good corner. I had my mom, my ex-fiance, and my kids, you know. And I just want to say that I appreciate them.
Good for you. Absolutely. It's important.
Yeah.
That was genuine.
Wow.
We got to let it all out now.
Absolutely. What an episode, guys. What an episode.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for joining the No Quitters podcast. You guys heard Joe Michael and his story and his ability to just make sure that he stays resilient and disciplined, right? I mean, there's been a lot of talk right here. We encourage you guys to listen to this episode and more at the No Quitters. And you guys can find us at No Quitters Podcast. And that's on basically all handles. Thank you guys for listening.
All platforms, amazing transformation. Again, thank you. We're on all platforms, No Quitters.
Thank you guys. Thank you guys for having me.
Yes, and then just last thing, where can they find you if our listeners want to?
Yeah.
Find you?
On all the platforms is at Joe Michael Martinez on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, MySpace, YouTube.
Wow. YouTube.
No, but if it comes back, I want to make sure I'm on it.
Yeah. Awesome.
You guys could find me there.
There you go. Fantastic. Reach out to them.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.